we're on. Okay. This is the best image I could do. Men are interesting. I'm out on a limb. I know I'm opening myself up here this morning. But men can be very interesting. I mean, take for example, men and doctors. Men going to doctors. This is a rare phenomenon, this image. You have no idea how hard I had to search to find a picture of men in a doctor's waiting room. Yes. And they look excited, don't they? Now, look, maybe it's just an Aussie thing, but from the laughter across the room, I think it goes across cultural boundaries as well. It might be men in general. But why don't we want to go to doctors? Why do we view these people who exist to help us as our enemies? Why don't we want to hear what they have to say to us? Maybe, just maybe, it could be we don't like being told there's something wrong with us. Stop nodding your head, Marilyn. You've got a sore neck. You'll do damage. It could be, you know, like us men, where I'm okay. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm a man. And it's almost as if our manhood is insulted to be told we are sick and we can't fix ourselves. We'd rather live in denial than be told that there is something wrong with us. It's interesting, isn't it? You know, I've been puzzled about something for many years, and just maybe what happens when men and doctors, between men and doctors, could explain this puzzle to me. Today is Palm Sunday in the church calendar. It's the day when we remember how Jesus was welcomed into Jerusalem, how he came into Jerusalem and to the shouts of the crowd saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, the King has come. And he was welcomed as the King of Peace, the one who would save and bring peace. Well, what has always puzzled me is how come the crowds changed in such a short period of time? How come they went from Hosanna in the highest to crucify him? Crucify him. I mean, have you ever thought, that's a strange transition? Well, could it be that just like men who don't want to hear they have a problem and refuse to go to the doctor, humanity, and yes, it's not just us men, but humanity would rather live in denial than be told there is something wrong with them. Could it be? When you read the gospel accounts of Jesus, there is no doubt Jesus came into this world to save, to heal and restore, and to give hope and meaning to our lives. But embedded in this good news message is a clear declaration that something is wrong. And maybe the reason why the people transitioned so quickly was simply, like men and doctors, they just didn't want to hear it. But Jesus was very clear throughout his ministry regarding this. How did he put it? It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And the Apostle Paul reinforced this when he said, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Friends, the Easter message is one of hope and life. But the journey into that life begins by accepting, I've got a problem and I need to go to the doctor. Even if it means the doctor tells me there's something wrong with me. Even if the doctor tells me I've got a problem. So this morning, not wishing to be offensive, but this morning we're off to the doctor. That's what we're going to do. We're going to hear the Bible's diagnosis of the human condition without God. And let me say this, if we get this wrong, nothing else in the Bible will ever make sense. You can read the Bible all your life, but if you get this wrong, what we're going to talk about this morning, nothing else will make any sense. So if you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you have them here in some form or another, let's open them together to Ephesians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul is writing to a group of believers, of early followers of Jesus in this ancient city of Ephesus, situated in Turkey, modern Turkey. And he's writing to them and he makes this succinct declaration, this succinct diagnosis of the human condition without God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. The Bible gives us a clear diagnosis here in this brief portion of scripture. The Bible gives us a clear diagnosis of the human condition without God. It tells us we are dead. Now, as we look around this room, most of us look alive. I saw you. Wake up. Most of us look alive. And yes, we're alive physically. And that's not the sense in which the Bible uses this word dead. It uses it in this context to describe alienation from the life of God. We are dead to God. We were as unresponsive to God as a corpse. We who were given life by the hand of God, by the Creator God, are now living without God. We're dead. We're dead in transgression. This is a really great word. It's a word we should reintroduce to our family and parenting skills. It means crossing of a boundary. We should say to our children, learn to say to your children, you've transgressed. They've crossed a boundary. They've deviated from the right path. Not only are we dead in transgressions, but we're dead in sin. This word means a missing of the mark, a falling short of a standard. It's interesting. The Bible's description of humanity is that we stand before the goodness and holiness of God as rebels and failures. This is God's description of humanity. This is God's description of that which he made perfect and good and right. We have come to this place where we're dead in transgression and sin. And not only that, we see also that humanity has surrendered to forces that are opposed to God. The Apostle Paul speaks of following the world. Again, in this context, the world is not talking about our physical globe, this geographic place where we live, but it's talking about the whole social value system, which is alien to God. Why do people want to ban a Christian club on a university campus because of the social value system that exists in the world. The Bible is describing a cultural bondage where people tend not to have a mind of their own but surrender to the cultural influences of their world. The world is a pressure being exerted upon us all the time. We see also here the Apostle Paul speaking of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. This is a reference to the devil, who is opposed to God and wants the world for himself. He wants the worship of God. He wants God to give him all the honor and praise that only belongs to God. The devil's only ambition is to destroy all that reflects the beauty and the wonder of the Creator God. And if that description isn't bad enough, there is a spiritual opposition within us to which we have surrendered. Our flesh or sinful nature, our fallen, self-centered human nature. Why do we seem to, when we want to do this, have this driving force within us that takes us in the opposite direction? All of us have human desires, normal human desires, whether it's for food, sleep, or sex. God has made the body that way. It's normal. But what we see being described here is these normal human desires being perverted into sinful desires. Our appetite for food becomes gluttony, for sleep becomes sloth, for sex, lust. As you read on in this portion of Scripture, the Bible also speaks of the outcome of this diagnosis. We are deserving of wrath. Have you ever actually noticed when people are being interviewed on television or in the media or something happens, how often the word, the expression, "they deserve it," comes up? Have a listen. It's a really interesting trend. Oh, something happened to so-and-so and it was nice. Oh, they deserve it. They just won all this money. Oh, they deserve it. Oh, they got this. Oh, they deserve it. It's a really interesting trend. Well, this is a rather more accurate picture of what we deserve. This is God's perspective on what it is we deserve. John Stott describes God's wrath as his personal, righteous, constant hostility towards evil. His settled refusal to compromise with it and his resolve instead to condemn it. God's wrath is his response to evil, the evil that exists in the world. It's not him getting angry. It's not God losing his temper. It's not God becoming impatient, but it is settled resolve. I will not put up with evil. I hate it and I am against it and I will come against it. We are deserving of the opposition of God. No wonder men don't like going to the doctor. Who wants to hear that sort of diagnosis? I mean, can you just imagine? Can you imagine sitting in the doctor's surgery and saying, "But doctor, how could this happen to me? It's not fair. I don't deserve this." And the doctor says, "Well, look, I'm sorry, but it's not like you are an innocent victim here. You do realize you were an active participant against God. You followed. Look at the scripture. You followed. You were disobedient. Your lifestyle and thinking was full of craving and desiring. Your very nature was against God. You have no one to blame but yourself. You deserve it. Doctors have had more training than that. They don't normally say that sort of thing. I'm thankful for that. But, you know, don't you want to go to an honest doctor? I appreciate the idea of going to an honest doctor. No, no, you're okay. Have some jelly beans. You'll be right. Oh, I felt really bad. No, no, this is an honest doctor here. And the tragedy that we see here embedded in this scripture is, yes, all of us did it. It's not just me. I'm the innocent one. It's you. You're the rotten sinners. I'm good. I don't deserve it. No, no, no. All of you. All of us. It's overwhelming, isn't it? It's overwhelming. But what's interesting here in this portion of scripture is how the Bible puts this diagnosis in the past tense. It's really interesting to look at. You see, the Apostle Paul, as I said before, is writing to a group of believers. Look at chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. These are people who have believed in Jesus. These are people who have repented of their sin and believed the message of the gospel concerning Jesus. And so when he says in chapter 2, verse 1, as for you, that's who he is writing to. But notice, so notice what the Bible does with this. Verse 1, you were. Verse 2, you used to live. Verse 3, lived among them at one time. Again, verse 3, we were. This is all past tense. Yes, there's this appalling diagnosis, overwhelming diagnosis, this very clear explanation of what is wrong with our world, why our world, on the one hand, can be amazingly beautiful and yet full of evil and horror. But for this group of people, that reality was past tense. Could it be possible, friends? Could it be possible that we too can be healed from such a condition? Like these people that Paul is writing to, could it be possible that we could be included in the as for you? You were, you used to live, you used to live among them at one time. We were. Could it be that all that, for me, could become past tense? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on Friday. And you'll have to come back. Doctors always get you to come back. Let's pray. Father, it is an overwhelmingly appalling picture of humanity that we see described here in the Bible. And Lord, you don't put it here in your word because you're against people. You hate people. You're just angry and you just want to tell us what's wrong. You put it here because you love us. Knowing full well that unless we have an honest and true diagnosis, we can never fix the problem. And so, Holy Spirit, I want to welcome you this morning just to speak to us about sin. To show us who we are, who we were. For those who don't know you this morning, I just pray that God, you would touch people's lives and set them free from sin. That you would open their eyes that they might indeed see the reality of theirs and this world's situation. For us who have believed in you, Lord Jesus Christ, I just pray that you would overwhelm us with the knowledge that we've been rescued from sin. We don't deserve a thing other than your wrath. And yet, God, you did something about it. Oh, Lord, only you can speak into our lives now. And so I just invite you, I just want to pause and welcome you, Holy Spirit, just to minister. Friends, take this opportunity. We live in a world that never stops. But this morning, I just want to give you an opportunity to stop. And just to quietly, between you and God, face the reality of the human condition.